This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. If you're looking to sell a home in Charlotte, the news is good. The market is hot, very hot, and home prices have been rising. We reached an all-time high for home prices here in December, according to the S&P Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index. There's also some good news for buyers, for now. Mortgage interest rates are low, but could soon be rising. And that, combined with rising home prices and a tight market, might have some buyers thinking, I'd better do this now or I might miss out. And they could be right. So what's driving this highly competitive market and how long can it last? To get answers and some advice for buyers and sellers, we turn this hour to Roger Parham, president of the Charlotte Regional Realtor Association and a broker leadership team member with Allen Tate Realtors. Good morning. Welcome to you.
Good morning.
Bob Zweier is president of Saucy Burbank, a Charlotte-based home builder. He's also with us, and they're building everywhere right now. Good morning.
Welcome. Good morning, Mike.
And for an economic perspective, we invited Mark Vittner to join us. Mark, of course, is managing director and senior economist at Wells Fargo Securities. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Always good to see you when the news is good. Let me just put it that way. If you have questions about buying or selling or the market in general, or maybe your house in specifics, I don't know if we can answer that, you can join our conversation by emailing us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. Roger Parham, December, as I said, saw the highest real estate prices ever in Charlotte. Why?
One word, inventory. The inventory in our market is at a historical low point. December, we were at 2.3 months of inventory, where a healthy market is 5 to 6 months. We were at 2.3, which strongly dictates a seller's market. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a seller's market, sellers can price to that market.
Why is the inventory so low? Is it that people, there are a lot of buyers, people want to move, want to buy a new house, but not many people want to sell? What's the deal?
Well, it's a combination of things. We have been in a seller's market now with low inventory for almost 3 years. With that being said, some sellers are having a challenge of finding property in their price point that's better than the property that they're currently in. Baby boomers have been very slow to the market. They're doing a lot of renovations at home and deciding to stay in their home. Mm. Not only that, I'm sure builders have been having a little challenge of getting inventory out as fast, particularly in the single-family marketplace.
And how long have prices been rising? For about the same amount of time?
Well, prices have been rising, but remember, real estate is very hyper-local, meaning that back in June, we were at maybe 25% higher than what we finished in December. So prices have actually been coming down from a medium price standpoint. But again, that's going to go back up as we ramp into the new buying season.
Are home prices here too hot? Could we be at risk of being in this bubble that suddenly bursts and you just bought the house and it's not worth what you paid for it?
Well, I'm sure Mark is going to be happy to answer that question.
Okay, Mark Vittner, this is your job.
But I personally don't believe so. I believe one of the things that drive home prices here is Charlotte's local economy. Mm-hmm. We are still a destination location. Our quality of life here is outstanding. So we have good jobs. We have very good transportation and access. Therefore, the quality of life that people find, what they're looking for, is dictating that the market is going to continue to move up, especially when the inventory is low.
I'm going to come to you, Mark, about this inventory thing and the prices being too hot in a second. But Bob Zweier is here. He's president of Saucy Burbank. And the fact that there's a low inventory of homes available to buy should be music to you as a home builder, music to your ears. Are new home builders unable to keep up with this demand, or are they being cautious not to overbuild, given what happened during the recession to a lot of builders?
Well, I think we all still suffer from, we have very long-term memories.
PTSD.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a great term. So there's certainly some of that. But also, finding lot positions is challenging and difficult. There, in the macro sense, in terms of the number of lots, vacant developed lots in our market, there's 20-plus thousand. But to Roger's point, it's all location. And so a lot of these lots are in ex-urban, remote markets that where there isn't demand.
Right.
Where the demand is in the city and in the communities that have done well, there's very few positions available.
Well, prior to the recession, new home builders were everywhere. They were building; they couldn't put them up fast enough, it seemed to me, and they were all out in the suburbs, about beyond 485 and places like that. And I thought to myself, at some point, they're going to run out of land. Is that even possible?
Well, probably not in that sense. But I think what you're seeing, and Mike, you and I were talking about this before we went on air, you're seeing a lot of focus on the infill, and so we're repurposing,
right?
And that's one way that we're reusing some of that land. So you don't necessarily need vacant land or okay. rural land. There are other ways to use it, higher density. And using infill transit oriented development is a big movement right now. So I think that's how that's being addressed.
So Mark Vittner's here from Wells Fargo. He's a senior economist there, and we've talked many times on this program about the ups and downs of the economy, and a part of your job is to keep track of information nationally and also locally here about housing trends around the country. Is this trend of demand outpacing supply particular to Charlotte, or is this happening around the country?
It's happening around the country, particularly in markets like Charlotte that are having strong job growth, strong population growth. And there's about 20 markets that fit that description. Raleigh's pretty much in the same boat, as is Nashville. But the Triad, not so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have lean inventories, but they don't have – the demand's not nearly as strong. And I think it's got a long ways to go. But one of the things that's changed in Charlotte has always been a market that has been a little bit denser than other Sunbelt markets, because we built the Beltway so much later than just about anybody else. And so more people live closer into town, which actually feeds into this cycle quite well from a pricing standpoint, because there's been renewed interest on folks moving back into town for a number of reasons. One is simply to avoid the time lost in waiting in traffic. And the other is that suburban development is now fully priced. It used to be that suburban counties would subsidize residential development. So they would bring in the homes and then hope that commercial development would follow it.
Mm-hmm.
But after the last cycle, the commercial development never followed it. And they can't afford to subsidize residential development. So when developers want to develop lots, they're fully priced. And it's very hard to build a competitive product in those outer reaches of Charlotte with the fixed lot cost.
So you've got this double whammy of paying what you might pay in further closer in town out in the suburbs, because the builders are having to pay full price, and yet you have that long commute to boot. So why not just buy in town? Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. And the other is that it all over the country, and including in Charlotte, commuting into town is no longer free.
I mean, you're doing a lot of infill at Saucy Burbank, and there are a lot of builders who are doing infill developments. Bonterra is doing it. Classica is doing it. I think MI is doing it. Is that where the demand is? Do people coming to you say, I don't want to live out there. I want to live in town.
Yeah, I think so, Mike. I think that, we just react to the market. I mean, we always say we're really just opportunists. We're looking for, where does the market want product? And I think we see a lot. I mean, obviously, we're seeing that in the apartment craze. And look where all those apartments are being built, whether it's South Boulevard or downtown. So I think we're responding to what the market tells us they want.
Yeah. Let me get back to this home price thing, Mark. Are home prices too hot? Is there a danger here that people could buy today and find out that 6 months from now that house wasn't worth what they paid for it?
Well, home prices are to some extent cyclical, but significant declines in home prices are fairly rare. I mean, what had happened in the last cycle, we did have a bubble, and that bubble was driven by extremely easy credit, most of which was provided from outside the banking sector and in these mortgage companies that were out there making loans that can't be made today. And you had a lot of people buying homes simply on the reason that they thought that, that they were going to go up, and they were buying more of them, more than one. In many cases, they were filling out credit card applications, taking a $20,000 advance and putting $2,000 down on five homes, and then using the balance to float that, and then hoping to flip them when they were completed. That was a classic bubble. We don't have that type of behavior today. Today, it is purely that demand is stronger than the supply of homes that are available.
So, if the demand is stronger than the supply and the prices are rising as a result, Roger Parham, how can it be that sales are also up?
That's a very good question. I've often asked myself that question when I look around town and I see some of the firms having the best years ever in sales. But the amount of foot traffic that we're receiving right now is greatly up. I mean, we had 21% increase in pending sales in January compared to January of last year, and a 55% increase over December. So it basically means you have more buyers in the marketplace, not necessarily more units.
And are they quicker to buy because they're afraid if they don't make a decision quickly, somebody else will snatch it up the next hour?
Does it have to be a complete hour? We actually now at our MLS, we have a new status that's called coming soon.
Yeah.
And what you're basically doing is you're building up momentum for these properties before they're available to show. So within 30 minutes of being active, it's possible to have multiple offers.
Yeah. Wow. So the downside of this, the other side of this equation is since inventory is low, it's, as you said, there are some sellers out there or potential sellers out there, people living in homes who are not going to put them on the market because they're afraid that they won't find something that they like?
Either that or the sellers just love their locations.
Right.
And they don't want to leave their side of town, if you would. And the other homes that they're looking for may not be available. Hmm. However, some sellers are waking up. I mean, in January, we had a 5% increase in listings come on the market in January, which is very early for the spring buying season.
And are they doing that because they see a profit, they see cash at the other end of the transaction, and they'll take their chances at finding something that they like? Or are these people who are finally deciding to sell people who are changing their lifestyle, maybe moving to a different location, maybe retiring and downsizing? Who are these people that are finally selling?
All the above. Cash always trumps. So when you have sellers who historically for the last, as Mark was talking about the bubble, when they saw themselves sometime being upside down in their property and they wanted to move and couldn't sell, and now all of a sudden they've finally regained that access and cash back into the property, some of them want to cash out and get out of home ownership. And there are others who just want to downsize.
Christmas time, holiday time, used to be a time when realtors could take some time off because nobody was going to buy a house in December during the holidays. But that was not the case this year, and it was warm pretty much in December. It's very warm right now. Is this early spring adding to the excitement here?
Without a doubt. We are seeing more foot traffic right now, according to our showing service, than we've ever had. As far as open homes, we had 64,000 members come in or customers come in to open houses during the month of January.
Wow. Roger Parham is president of the Charlotte Regional Realtors Association and a broker with Alan Tate. Bob Zweier is president of Saucy Burbank, and Mark Mittner's with Wells Fargo. We're coming right back. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, dedicated to promoting informed and engaged communities and committed to helping public radio advance quality journalism in the digital age. More at knightfoundation.org. And Doctors Making House Calls, physician-owned and managed, Doctors Making House Calls works to help complex patients stay healthy at home and avoid unnecessary ER visits and hospitalizations. Details available at doctorsmakinghousecalls.com. Noda's explosive growing pains may continue for a while with the delay of the opening of the next leg of the Lynx Blue Line. And as part of our occasional block-by-block series, we look at how Noda has been handling not only the rail construction, but the onslaught of development there. And then, since spring has arrived so soon, about a couple of weeks too early, maybe 3 weeks, we find out why the weather is defying the calendar and how this will impact your garden. That's tomorrow on this program at 9.
I'm Tom Asbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, Democratic Representative Adam Schiff, joins us to talk Russia, allegations against Jeff Sessions, and U.S. national security. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
That's coming up from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte talks with Mike Collins on listener-funded public radio, 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins, and we're talking real estate. You think the weather's been hot, real estate's been hotter, and the weather's been helping, no doubt, as Roger Parham just told it. He's the president of the Charlotte Regional Realtors Association. Bob Zwire is president of Saucy Burbank. They build homes and have been building homes all over the area for quite a while. And Mark Vittner is managing director and senior economist with Wells Fargo Securities. What has been the impact, Roger? Roger Parham, of all these apartments, I think we have 10,000 apartments that have gone up in the last couple of years, with, I think, 10,000 more on the drawing board. And some of these apartments, I'm told, are renting for multiples of a house payment. I mean, $2,000 a month in some aspects. What's been the impact on your industry?
Well, actually, I believe it's an unintended consequence that is taking place, which is it has driven more investors into the single-family market to buy those properties and rent them out because they believe that rents are at an all-time high right now, the prices in apartments. And as an investor, if I can put a single-family home out there with a backyard and get the same or close to the same of what they're getting in apartments, my properties are renting much faster.
But then what does that do to neighborhoods? Because in the recession, a lot of investors came in and bought whole swaths of neighborhoods as rental properties. What does that do to a neighborhood when everything's a rental property with an occasional owner-occupied house?
Well, always there's a downside to every good deed. And, of course, we prefer home ownership, not just because of what it does for our business, but also data shows that home ownership adds to the community. It adds to the community as far as the schools are concerned, as far as the taxes are concerned, as far as the jobs are concerned. So there are some unintended consequences that that come along with investors in the marketplace, but eventually those investors are going to dump those properties back on the market, yeah, which is going to raise your inventory level back for other first-time home buyers who are coming in.
So if it had not been for the five figures of apartments being built around town, would home prices be higher because demand would be higher because there'd be fewer places to live? You'd have to buy a house to live here?
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think that prices may still have that steady pace, that 2 to 3% incremental growth that it has had, because now you're going to have more inventory on the market if these apartments were not here. So you would not be seeing prices go up as fast as they've been going up.
Okay. Some say millennials don't want to own a home. Has that been your experience? Because you build some mid-level homes at Saucy Burbank. Who's buying your houses?
Gosh, Mike, we get asked that all the time, and there is no one particular demographic. Millennials are probably not the lion's share of what we're doing right now. We're getting the move down, the empty nester. The folks that maybe want to sell a larger property, take a little bit of cash out of it, and then still live in something that is very
nice,
comfortable.
Yeah,
exactly. So we see a lot of that. But young families continue to be a driver in new home sales, and I think it's just it's just a matter of time. I think those millennials, I've got three children that fall in that category, and I think they're all starting to move in that direction as well. So it'll happen, I think.
Nationally, Mark, is that what they want to do? They want to rent? Is that a temporary thing because they want to be footloose and fancy-free and be able to pick up and move in a nanosecond if they get a better job offer?
Well, it's a longer live thing than what we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. Folks are wanting to rent for longer, and some of that is that the millennials graduated in a soft job market. It's taken them longer to build up some savings. There's also some really basic issues where women have earned 60% of the college degrees, and so there are many more college-educated women than there are college-educated men. Mm-hmm. So it's harder for them to pair up because college-educated women tend to want to marry college-educated men.
Right.
And so you're seeing that the age of a first marriage has gone way up since the last recession. And typically people don't buy homes until they get married, form a family.
Are real estate agents posing this to people who since inventories are low and people are a little reluctant to get out of the house they have now in some cases because they're afraid that they may not be able to find something that they like, if you can hang on to the property you're living in and rent it to somebody – and if you're approaching retirement or you are retired, you want to downsize, if you have some cash available, is now a good time to move and rent your house, your old house?
Yes. That's a very difficult question. It's a very difficult question because I'm a real estate investor myself.
Okay.
And I will always take the opportunity to own a home, rent it out, and be a landlord. But being a landlord is not for everyone.
Right.
And so that's a very tough decision to make.
When last we got together to talk about this, Mark, it was back in September, I think, and we had similar conditions, but they weren't quite as hot as they are in Charlotte right now. And you told us back then that home ownership in this country had dropped to its lowest point since 1965. Is that still the case?
Well, for the year as a whole, it was the lowest level that we've seen since we began keeping stats. But it did rebound off the low that we hit in the second quarter. I think that the homeownership rate has bottomed out. A lot of this has to do with this wave of millennials. Young people tend not to own homes because they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But the leading edge of the millennials are now reaching a point in their lives where people tend, even when you put it off, tend to form families. And so we're seeing that some of the strongest growth in homeownership is occurring among millennials because it's starting from such a low point.
You also said that seller confidence is rising. Does that mean you believe that we'll see more inventory on the market soon because sellers have realized that I can get a lot of money for this. Let's move.
Seller confidence has risen, but there is a lot of concern about being able to find something better to move to. And one of the things that's kept a lot of sellers on the sidelines is that they've refinanced to a very low mortgage rate.
Yeah.
They're building equity very rapidly. And there a lot of folks, given how uncertain the economy has seemed at times, folks are saying, why do I want to mess with this?
How would you describe the economy right now? Is it uncertain? I mean, the stock market is crazy.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere.
The stock market is not the economy.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're somewhere between uncertain and giddy. You know, that's a big gap. Where things feel really good, but they don't you wouldn't say that we're booming.
Mm.
And I talk with a lot of folks, and they said, you know, I kind of like it slow and steady. It's not slow and steady either. We are growing at a pretty good clip. Here in Charlotte, we're one of the fastest-growing metro areas in the country. Mm. We probably added close to 60,000 people over the last 12 months in Charlotte, and we added about 45,000 jobs over the last 12 months in Charlotte. Hey, those are just incredible numbers that puts us, you know, those are kind of numbers that like in Austin, Texas, or even San Francisco. It's not that far. They've had stronger population growth, but about the same number of jobs.
I want to hear from the two people who sell real estate about what people are looking for today. This will help sellers, perhaps, and maybe certainly some buyers, too. But what are they looking for in a house? What do they want? What seems to really push their buttons? Roger.
No different than what's before. Location, location, location. You started off this segment talking about infield property,
right,
being closer in, cutting down on your commuting time. Those things are extremely important to the buyer nowadays.
Has that location changed over the years? Because location, location, location has been the mantra. It always has been the mantra. But back before the recession, people didn't seem to mind living out in Waxhaw or Ballantyne and working downtown.
Yes, it has changed. When's the last time you've been on I-485 during rush hour?
Try to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah. So buyers are also looking at very open floor plans. And the other thing that is really coming back to the marketplace and really never left, but now builders are hearing the buyers more on, is master bedrooms on the main level, guest bedrooms on the main level. Those are the things that our buyers are truly looking for. They're not looking for the half-acre lot any longer,
right?
Because someone has to take care of that half-acre lot.
Well, he's talking your line of work over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, he is. He stole some of my material, but that's okay. I think Roger's right on. The open floor plan, people are trading formal spaces, dining rooms and living rooms, again, for an open plan. You know, one thing that folks are looking for too is they're trading maintenance for a new, in the case of a new home sale, they're really deferring maintenance for, you know, 5 to 10 years if they can make that move. And but in terms of features, there's things like drop zones, barn doors are huge, farm sinks, shiplap, wainscoting, all sorts of natural materials, quartz and marble and granite.
What is shiplap?
Shiplap is just an application of 1x4 on walls. It looks like a ship. It looks like the side of a ship, and that's become a real hot asked for with folks. It's
just 1x4s nailed up on the wallboard and painted the same color or a contrasting color.
Exactly,
and that's
exactly
what they want.
Yeah.
How expensive is that to do? Not very, I wouldn't.
it can be done relatively
affordably. The other thing is this must thrill home builders, the fact that people want open floor plans. Because isn't that cheaper to build? You have no walls.
Well, but you've got to support it. And I'm not a structural engineer, but you've got to support it. So there are trade-offs there. The other thing people love, they want the more energy-efficient home. I mean, they're trading. They'll trade up for a little more house payment for, you know, $100 to $200 less in utility.
What sells the house? Is it the kitchen or the bathrooms or both?
It just depends on who the buyer is. Kitchens certainly are huge. Baths are important, but it really just depends on the buyer. They all have different hot buttons. Outdoor living is a big thing with folks. I mean, sometimes that's their first priority. Mm. So it just depends on what drives them.
So when you've got these new homes going up and they're mostly open floor plans, there are not very many split levels being built anymore today with formal dining or even colonials with formal dining rooms. When you have these new houses with open floor plans and these big kitchen islands and the coffered ceilings and the enormous showers and the master bath, what does that do to older homes and the ability to sell those? Does the seller have to update as best they can to make these bathrooms and kitchens and other areas competitive?
That answer is yes. However, sellers of existing property has something that the most newer homes don't have, and that goes back to location, the neighborhoods, mm-hmm. established neighborhoods, the maturity of the neighborhood, the trees, the access to malls and shopping centers, parks. Those things, in my opinion, you can upgrade some of your interior, and that would maximize the value that the buyers are looking for versus moving further and further and further mm-hmm. out from town.
Does there seem to be a sweet spot in terms of square footage or yard size these days?
No, actually, I believe the home sizes are coming down. You know, back in 06 and 07, we were looking at a lot of 3,000, 4,000, 4,500 square foot homes.
Right.
Nowadays, buyers are looking for that 22 to 2,800 square foot home.
Really?
That maximizes the areas of the property that they use. And those are normally not your former areas.
And that would be what? Your kitchen?
Your kitchen, your family room, your outdoor living, as Bob was speaking of earlier.
Huh. Is it important to have what's the sweet spot in bedrooms and bathrooms? How many do you need?
Oh, minimum three.
Minimum three.
Bath, minimum two.
Okay.
Anything other than that is access. You're providing space that you have to heat and cool that it's not as energy efficient for you.
Where's the highest demand? Is it in resale homes or is it in newly built homes?
Well, I mean, in terms of statistically, it's about 3 to 1. So
for 3 to 1, which what?
3 to 1 in terms of resales.
Okay.
So you'll see 30,000.
Is that simply because there are more resales than there are new homes?
Yeah. Yes. Well, and it's an affordability thing too. We were just talking about price. I think new homes are averaging 307,000, something like that, and your resales are closer to 200. So there's a big gap between those two, and I think that that drives it.
You want to chime in on this?
Well, I was going to say, one of the other advantages that existing homes have when we're talking about location is that in many cases, it really is the lot. It's not the house. It's the 15% of all the new homes that were built in 2015, so last year we have the data for this, involved the teardown of the existing home. So if you're going to tear your house down, don't fix it up.
How do you know? If you own a home, how do you know if your home is a teardown or if somebody was really want to come in there and live in your house?
Consult your local realtor.
Yeah. Well, we have a question about that from Erica on Twitter. How do you choose a good realtor? Are realtor ratings available? How do you know the person? How do you even do that? I mean, because there's so many realtors and so many companies now.
Well, don't over-exaggerate. There's only 10,000 realtors in the Charlotte market.
And they all work for Allen Jay.
Of course, experience is extremely important. However, even more so than experience is word of mouth. I'm going to take the opinion of my family and friends and colleagues over their experience with a realtor versus an advertisement that I see in your local magazine. So you can have all the realtor ratings that you want. Mm-hmm. I want the opinion of my family, friends, and colleagues.
What makes a good realtor? What should I be looking for?
Ethics, level of service, and more importantly, area of knowledge. We're talking about super sub-markets in our marketplace right now. Mm-hmm. I want someone who understands the difference between NoDa and the University City area. I want someone who understands the difference between Cotswold and South Park. Mm-hmm. Those things are extremely important.
And when you say knows the difference, what are you talking about? Who knows the comps? Somebody who knows the amenities? What are you talking about?
All those things. The comps, the amenities, the pricing values. Just because Cotswold is next door to South Park, I'm not going to price a home in a two-mile radius. I'm going to look for comps that are in a half-mile radius. And if I have a realtor who's not knowledgeable of that area, they may not know to do that. If I'm looking at comps for a custom home versus a sub-custom home, I'm not going to use the same or a production home.
Okay. Nationally, CNBC reports that entry-level homes are scarce because investors bought tens of thousands of them during the recession. Is that the case in Charlotte? Is it hard to find an entry-level home, be it previously owned or new? And what is the price point of an entry-level home today?
Well, the median price is $205 in Charlotte, but I wouldn't call that an entry-level home. Entry-level home is probably somewhere from $130 up to $175 in our marketplace.
What do you get for that?
Depending on the side of town you're on, in this marketplace, you're looking at 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, and roughly about 1,500 square feet.
And where would that probably be? Would it be in the outskirts of town, or can you find something close in at that level for entry level?
You would not find something close in at that price point at entry level.
The other thing that's happened with entry level is that there were two ways that people would usually buy their first home. One would be that they would go to a new home community with starter homes that would be lower priced. Those always tended to be as far out as you could be.
Let me stop you, Mark, because we have to take a break, and we'll come back and get that comment from you, and we'll also talk about why home builders aren't building a lot of entry-level homes anymore. We'll come back in a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Corkscrew Wine Shop and Bar. New location now open at The View in downtown Charlotte near BB&T Ballpark. Full portfolio of wine and beer from all over the world, plus live music. Details at thescrewcrew.com. And Mille Lacs Jewelers, direct diamond importers at the Arboretum, dedicated to consumer protection, ethical business practices, and gemological knowledge. Information about financing options available at millacjewelers.com. The ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, Democratic Representative Adam Schiff, joins Jane Clayson, who's hosting today On Point, to talk Russia allegations against Jeff Sessions and U.S. national security. That's all coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. Maybe you have questions about real estate or specifically about your house in this hot market. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org, search for WFAE on Facebook, or get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. We're coming right back.
It's your world. We help you explore it.
The Philippines is a leading mineral exporter. And as Michael Sullivan reports from Manila,
it's your community. We help you understand it.
When refugees land in Charlotte, Miata Adlibi's face might be one of the first they are greeted by when they get off the plane.
When they arrive, usually I'm in the airport.
Morning Edition on WFAE is an essential way to start your day and stay connected to your world. Listen weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about our super hot real estate market, what buyers and sellers are looking for, what they should do. Roger Parham is with us. He's the president of the Charlotte Regional Realtor Association and a broker with Allen Tate Realtors. Bob Zweier is president of Saucy Burbank, a new home builder. And Mark Vittner is managing director and senior economist at Wells Fargo Securities. We were talking about starter homes, Mark, and I had to interrupt you in the middle of a comment.
Well, I said there's two issues on the starter homes. One is that traditionally folks would buy a starter home. It would be in the outskirts of town where the land was less expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten tougher to build a competitively priced home in those areas because of a lot of the regulations involved with land development and what they're requiring folks to do. The other thing that folks would do is they would buy an older home that would be a fixer-upper, mm-hmm. Hopefully in an up-and-coming area. So that would have been like a Plaza Midwood or a Noda are over off of Freedom Drive now, and there's all sorts of areas and that's where the investors have been very active, and they've snapped up everything, and there's really just no inventory to buy in those areas.
And I've CNBC reports, Bob, that for home builders, the margins now are simply too tight on entry level product, especially where the cost of building has continued to rise. Why has the cost of building continued to rise?
Well, to Mark's point, regulation certainly always plays into it. The cost to develop a lot has gone up. Yeah, there's all sorts of matrices for that, or metrics for it. But there, what was maybe $20,000 or $25,000 a lot might now be $40,000 to $50,000 a lot. And now, right now, we're seeing a lot of pressure on the construction side. Especially if it's labor related, there's a tremendous amount of up pressure on costs. So, it's a combination of finding the land, developing it, and then the cost to build.
But isn't it more expensive for you to go in and tear down a house in an infill situation and build a new house there? It's certainly more expensive to buy the lot because it's inside the city, as opposed to going out in what is farmland or a forest and putting a house up, isn't it?
Well, it can be, Mike. In terms of absolute dollars, you're probably absolutely right. But there's some other things. I mean, for instance, an infill, you don't have to put a water or sewer or infrastructure.
Or
I mean,
streets.
It's already there.
Yeah.
Or street, exactly, streets. So there are some of those costs that you're able to take advantage of that don't occur. And then going out into the suburbs, where infill can be sort of one off or a couple of lots at a time, you're looking at a much more significant land purchase, and so it's a capital intensive business.
Condominiums have been an on again, off again prospect in real estate. I mean, there's some downtown condominiums. The View was going to be a condominium; it was turned into an apartment building, although there's some owners in there. And there have been suburban condominiums around South Park and places like that, but they don't seem to be very hot right now. Is that a nationwide thing?
It's pretty much a nationwide thing. About the only place that condominiums came back strong was in South Florida, where you have a lot of foreign buyers that have been coming into the market. Mm-hmm. And the resale market in condominiums hasn't been that bad. It's actually come back fairly strong. But doing new condominium development is just very difficult right now because it's hard to get the financing for those projects, and you have to line up a lot of sellers, and they have to be have much larger down payments than they did in the past, because in the past they would line up the sellers and the sellers would flip them two or three times before the project was built. And that didn't end very well. So essentially, it's just gotten to be very much more cumbersome to develop them. And a lot of people are building apartments. Some of the high-rise apartment developments that are nicer, they're built with the idea that maybe at one point, sometime down the road, they will be converted into for-sale housing.
Yeah. You don't build any condominiums.
No, we don't. But we are. But townhouses, I think, are reappearing, especially again infill. We're doing a project in Noda that's transit-oriented, development-driven. It'll be near the light rail station. And so to Mark's comment, you can build discrete buildings of 4 to 6 to 10 units in a townhouse, and you don't have the commitment or the financing requirements that a condominium would. So I think townhouses are sort of the direction we're seeing.
Because from a builder's point of view, if I'm not mistaken, to build a condominium, particularly one of these mid-rise condominium buildings or even a high-rise condominium, you have to pre-sell a certain percentage of them before you can even get the loan to get the building out of the ground. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I think it's anywhere from 50 to 60 to 70% of those units need to be pre-sold. And that's not the case in townhouses typically.
Okay. And the caliber of those pre-sales is much better today than it was in the prior cycle. So their financials have to be all in order.
Well, let's talk about that, because things have tightened up in the mortgage business. And because the market is so tight, what credentials should buyers be bringing with them in this market?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, the buyer, what you're looking for is you want to make sure that you're a ready, willing, and able buyer. And able means that you've already come out here in a competitive market and been pre-approved by a lender, showing that you can actually purchase the property that you're seeking. This is an extremely competitive market. We're seeing multiple offers on almost every property that's coming out here. So if I'm a seller and I'm receiving multiple offers, I'm looking for that pre-approved buyer.
Wow. So how difficult is that to get if you are a buyer?
Actually, it's not difficult at all.
How much have things tightened up since the Great Recession?
Actually, I think the correction was something that was well needed and planned out. Of course, the banks went to one direction of going to surrender it, but they have come back some. And I think we're almost back in the middle of the pack now, where they're looking for people who have indicated and shown that they are credit worthy. So I think right now the opportunity to get a loan is awesome.
Are sellers less willing, or are they even willing at all, to consider a contingency?
I have not seen a contingency sale in the last six months.
So what are you supposed to do? Seriously, what if you're a buyer and you have been pre-approved for a loan and you own a home? You have to live somewhere. You're going over to see a house, would be it a piece of new construction or it's a previously owned home. You want to put an offer in, but you have to sell your house because you're not a rich person. You can't carry two mortgages. What do you do? What are you supposed to do?
Mike, I just think you asked about the chicken or the egg. We as realtors have been dealing with this now for a couple of years, and our advice to our soon-to-be buyers, because they're homeowners, right, is be prepared to find alternative living until...
So move twice.
You may have to if you want to find the property that you're solely interested in, because if your property is competitively priced for the marketplace, it's probably going to sell quickly, and you're going to be out there looking for a property.
Should we all be buying stock in moving companies right now? Is that what we should be doing? Will new home builders take a contingency?
Mike, it depends. For the most part, they're not at the top of the list in terms of what we prefer to do. But there are situations that merit it, and we'll often take I mean, frankly, every contract we take is contingent because if the buyer, there are things that can happen, a loss of a job, a death in the family. There are things that happen that make every contract contingent. But it's really the strength of the contingency. Where if the buyer has a house to sell, where is that house? Are they working with a qualified realtor? Have they been realistic in their appraisal of what their property's worth? All those things factor into, you know, whether or not it makes sense to take a contingent contract. Obviously, in the perfect world, the word wouldn't exist, but it's a reality of the business.
Laura emails, can you talk about the Lake Norman area market, and also are many people looking for in-ground pools?
Well, I don't know about the in-ground pools, but the Lake Norman area, Charlotte's somewhat unique in that we have lakes that are very close to key employment centers. A big challenge of the Lake Norman area has been this I-77 expansion,
right.
But it doesn't seem to be killing demand. It just seems to be annoying some folks. But it's I think that the there seems to be more and more employers seem to be wanting to locate up there so that they give folks an option of having to drive into Charlotte. So I think the area looks great.
Well, let's talk about this with a realtor. What about the Lake Norman area, and what about in-ground pools? Does that raise or lower the value of a home, or is it neutral and it's simply up to the buyer?
Yes.
You're no good here at all.
Speaking as a realtor, the value that a pool brings to a property is the value that it brings to that particular owner. You're going to have certain buyers who are looking for a pool, but that's a pretty segregated bunch. The majority are not. With regards to Lake Norman, it is no different, in my opinion, than the area that Mark was mentioning of Lake Wylie.
Okay.
And that is not necessarily about the area as much as it is about the price point. While we talked earlier about 2.3 months worth of inventory in our marketplace, well, the further out you get, such as Lake Norman, Lake Wylie, those areas are seeing four and a half months worth of inventory.
Talk about price and the inventory of homes at particular price points. What is it more? How much more difficult is it today to sell something that's in excess of $300,000?
Well, it's getting better right now, but it has been a challenge. Property priced under $300,000 have been going under contract almost immediately. But those over $300,000 have been staying on the market close to 80, 95 days on the market. Mm-hmm. That's why we have an average of about 55 days on the market total.
Okay. Eric, we've already talked about this, but Erica emails this question. I want to get a firm answer again. Should I get pre-qualified and pre-approved for a loan before I begin a search for a new home?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right. When the market was slower, sellers were told they should really spruce their homes up. They should make sure that it had curb appeal, declutter inside, freshen the paint inside and out, remodel the kitchen if that needed to be done, and the bathrooms. Is that still the case today?
Absolutely. While it's not imperative that you do so, if you're trying to maximize the terms that you receive, that is the price, and how soon you can get off the market, then yes, you should consider staging your property and working on your curb appeal.
And when you say staging, that means what?
Decluttering your property. Buyers have a tendency to lack vision. They can't walk into a property that's every wall that has pictures on it and every room is full of furniture and books and actually visualize their furniture and themselves being there. So you need to declutter and give them a little help.
Since nobody owns books or records anymore, do you still put built-in bookshelves up?
We do.
Except me.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do. And there it's, it's more for decoration. But yeah.
Last year, Mark, you pointed out that nationwide home prices were rising much faster than incomes. Is that the case in Charlotte? Is it still the case nationwide?
It's the case nationwide. It's the case in Charlotte. And the good news for Charlotte is that home prices relative to income are only a little bit out of line with where they've been historically, and that's not the case in many other markets around the country. Home prices are significantly higher than income. That's true of many of the Florida markets and California, many of the West Coast markets. and increasingly Atlanta, Dallas, Austin, their home prices have risen well in excess of incomes.
And Fed Chair Janet Yellen has been doing something that previous Fed chairs had not done, and that she's telegraphing that rate increases are coming down the pike. She did it again, I think, last week. If interest rates go up, what will that do to a mortgage interest rate?
Well, mortgage rates have already risen, and the expectation that the Fed's going to make this move, and they may surprise us and signal that they're going to raise rates even more rapidly going forward, in which case mortgage rates might go up a little bit more. I think that's one of the reasons that the market's gotten off to this strong start this year. I think a lot of folks that have been holding on to their home and putting off trading up, trading down, whatever they wanted to do, they now sense that mortgage rates have bottomed. They're right, likely to rise from here, and
so
now's the time to do something.
Where are they today? I know they change by the hour and by the company, but where are they?
Mike, they're generally in the 4.25 range for a 30-year fix. To Mark's point, it has brought demand forward, I think. And you know, I've often heard the term used that interest rates it gets buyers off a fence. If they're sitting there waiting and trying to decide is now the time or not. But it's like a shot of adrenaline for the industry. Mm-hmm. So it gets folks out there. It's not sustenance. It's not food. So what you need are things like jobs and relocations and those kind of things to keep the market strong.
Some new home builders provide financing or offer financing, and they seem to get a better rate. Is that the case, really?
Mike, we don't. We have preferred realtors. We use some of the largest. Wells Fargo is one of them that are our partners in that process. I think what my advice to anybody is to shop. We tell our folks the same thing to shop two or three reputable mortgage companies and see. And sometimes that builder's program is the best, and sometimes there's better. Rates out there.
At some point last year, people were writing love letters to sellers to encourage them to sell to them. Is that still happening? Do you suggest people do that?
Yes. Sellers are emotional creatures as well, and sometimes you have to pull at the heart. We're in a very competitive marketplace here. We were talking earlier about the question from Erica about getting pre-approved. Well, it's not just about having a pre-approval letter. You also have to consider the terms that you're offering right now in a very competitive market, the due diligence money you're putting down, the earnest money that you're putting down, whether or not you're going to ask for personal property when you know that you're in a multiple offer situation. Mm-hmm. How soon can I take the property off the market? How soon can I close? And the last piece is, can I tell a story to the seller that will turn their heart to choose my offer over another?
Wow. What do you tell them about Zillow? Enough said. Roger Parham, president of the Charlotte Regional Realtors Association, Bob Zweier, president of Saucy Burbank, and Mark Vittner, managing director and senior economist with Wells Fargo Securities.